The year is 2033. Earth will soon become uninhabitable, and humanity is scrambling to find a backup plan. In a Hail Mary, a crew of 6 astronauts have been carefully selected to scout out Mars, humanity's last chance at survival. Invaluable to the mission are Hana and Jun Sung, twin sisters who make up 2 very different parts of the team. Hana, the youngest of the twins, is the pilot of Daedalus crew, while her elder sister June works as the capsule communicator for Mission Control, the main point of contact for Hana and her team. Hana has dedicated herself completely to the cause and is ready to sacrifice her own life for the future of humanity. As her sister risks it all for the greater good, June must try to guide the astronauts through their expedition and back to Earth, saving her sister in the process. National Geographic's show Mars tears down genre boundaries by incorporating nonfiction interviews of real-life rocket scientists with the fictional narrative of a future mission to Mars. Jihei, a prolific rock musician, makes her acting debut in Mars, where she has taken on the challenge of playing both Hana and Jun Sung. She is kind enough to speak with us today about the challenges of dual-role acting, the intersection of her music and acting careers, and much, much more. All right, so I'd like to start off with some questions just about what has influenced your acting in this movie. So you've lived all over the world, Seoul, Nigeria, Sweden, New York, and this show is just all about exploring new frontiers in outer space. And I was wondering how your nomadic lifestyle has influenced your acting in this show.
I think, you know, when you experience different cultures and live and experience fully different cultures in different parts of the world, different continents, it's something that I think allows one to be more open-minded and not to dismiss something that you don't know as wrong or, you know, negative, but that you take more of an objective outlook on things. You know, I think it makes us more tolerant and more curious. So it's definitely affected my songwriting. It's affected the way I look at things and the way I look at problems and solve them. So yeah, absolutely. I think it helps me, or it's formed me as a personality per se. So anything that I do is affected by everything I've experienced. So yeah, I think so.
So you've worked in music videos before. Your music video, Black Pearl, was up for nomination a couple of years ago. And I was just wondering, moving from music videos to National Geographic film, what were the biggest adaptations that you had to make in your acting style?
Well, this was my first acting role. And with music videos, there's no dialogue. So I wasn't shy in front of a camera, but as far as memorizing a ton of material and acting them out is a whole different new technique you have to learn. And there's so many different techniques that people teach and people have studied for years. And, you know, it was a massive challenge. But I think what I did was, you know, I trusted in the people that had faith in me to do this, including the director and the producers involved. And I think the approach that I took was, well, the approach that I took was based on something I know to do well that I've done for a long time, which is live performance. So when I perform a song, that song's been written 3 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, who knows, a week ago. And I'm evoking emotion that was written at a different point in time, and I'm bringing it back. And, of course, I wrote it, so I know it inside out. I've edited it. It's been in my head for a long time, so it's easier for me to bring out the emotion, you know. But with acting, you have to really dig into the ins and outs of individual character, what their background was. And if they don't tell you in the script, you have to create it. And And yeah, you just make it up based on all the, you know, you got based on all the right facts, but because they give you some hints, of course. And you basically, you literally like fill in the flesh and blood of the character. What is their goal in life? What is their mission? What do they want the most? What is the most at stake for them? You know, what are they trying to achieve? What is their biggest obstacle? So details, very detailed backstory, history, you know. And then once you have that, you can embody that, and then you can tell the truth of that character.
Was it ever difficult, since you were playing two different characters, to separate the two and handle two different personalities being thrust on you at once?
Was it ever difficult? It was difficult the whole time. It was probably the biggest professional challenge I've ever encountered, and it was so much material and such minimal time to learn, prepare. It was very challenging, but I had to just give my all, give my 100% or 200% per se, and trust that that would be enough, and it ended up being. I mean, you know, we started out with my long hair. My hair was down to my waist most of my life, and I cut it for this role. And so we started out with the older June, the older sister June character, and then, like, after that week of shooting, we cut the hair and went to Johanna character for a number of weeks, and then went back to June after that. So it wasn't too much back and forth.
Were there any methods or techniques that you used in particular to just be like, all right, I'm June today?
Yeah, I think there was one thing very specifically different about the two characters is that Hannah went to the Air Force, spent time at the Air Force to become a pilot. So already she has more of a masculine side than June does. She's also the younger, more adventurous one. So when I was playing June, I worked out more. I tried to pump a little iron and you know, made sure my posture was like somebody who's been in the Air Force. So physically, I made an adjustment. June, when she's in mission control, you know, she is the first voice of the lifeline of the Daedalus crew, and she, you know, she's an older sister, just so worried because her sister's millions and millions of miles away, and so there's a different physicality there too. You know, when you're constantly worried, when you're fighting for survival on a daily basis, there's no time to worry.
So you have already played two dual acting roles, one in Black Pearl and now one in Mars. How did your acting in Black Pearl inform your acting in Mars?
Well, when I was doing the short film video for Black Pearl, I had to play this two different people, and one had to be a male and one had to be a female. So that was actually quite helpful in a way, because I took the initial duality I created was from my own, you know, which was my masculine and my feminine side. I mean, that little element was helpful, but there was, you know, a mountain to climb when it came to learning about the dual roles, what it takes for each individual to become the professionals that they are. Alone is, you know, a whole nother ball game.
Between Hannah and June, is there one character that you identify more with?
I think I identify more with Hannah.
Why?
Why? Because she's the more adventurous type, the less worrying type. I'm not trying to say that, like, June is not adventurous. But, no, there's something about Hannah's willingness to just, you know, for June, her big focus is on saving the life of her sister and the crew. Hannah's big focus is really the mission, and the mission is, how do we save humanity? And there's something about this caring about the greater good of everyone that I think I behold. You know, I work in a lot of different charity projects, and I feel more Hannah. Maybe it's the haircut.
Maybe it's the hair. You've just jumped all over the different kinds of art forms that there are out there, music, acting, just all over the place. What have you learned about yourself and your artistic style from working in so many different art forms? And is there one where you feel most at home?
Well, I only started working on different art forms because as an independent musician with my own label, wearing multiple hats, dealing with recording, mixing, mastering, manufacturing, artworks, music videos, I started wearing multiple hats because I didn't have the resources to hire people to do all this stuff. So I started directing. I produced almost all of my music videos and directed a few. And so, you know, I was playing line producer, you know, like multiple roles. So in doing that and also not having any marketing promotion budget, I had to think outside the box to figure a way for my songs to live longer. And that led to collaborations with fine artists, amazing fine artists of many different mediums to collaborate. And a playwright, John Patrick Shanley, who wrote Moonstruck and Doubt, and we created a rock opera together based on a third concept album. And all, you know, I think a lot of like collaborations and visual stuff that I had done, it all stemmed from my music work. And that led to me doing scoring projects for other fine artists or other short films for directors. But it all comes down to the music, really. And that is my first love. And I think Vogue was saying that I'm a musician turned actor. That's really actually not the case. I'm a musician who happened to be approached by a director by a director and the production who were looking for someone to fill the role for 4 months and couldn't find anybody. And I knew the director through a mutual friend, and it just dawned on him after 4 months that I was the one that could fill the role. You know, having gone through such a big challenge that was such an uphill battle throughout the whole process, and seeing the result of it and seeing how beautifully they put everything together and how visionary the visual team was, and it makes me really, really happy and proud to have been a part of something like this that's not only just a genre-breaking new thing, but it's also really the only thing out there on an entertainment level, on a cultural level, you know, that promotes and celebrates knowledge. celebrating knowledge is something our culture needs to do. We don't need to celebrate too much more sports or just, you know, empty entertainment. We need to support things that bring positivity to our culture and to our kids. You know, not everyone needs any more 15 minutes of fame. I think we need hope, and we need to be educated. And this show offers that, you know, and it has as much thrill ride and drama, and there's romance in there, you know, as any other great show without the violence and without the gratuitous sex. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm really proud to be a part of this. But also, I mean, I think I got the acting bug, which only means that I'm only interested in doing projects that really speak to me. I'm not just going to be like, I'll just do anything, you know. But obviously it's only been, a few months since we stopped shooting, and, well, maybe a month since I stopped doing narration, voiceovers, and I've been back in the studio, and I'm working on a new EP. I did a cover of Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen.
You were able to turn one of his poems into a song, right, recently, or maybe a couple of years ago?
Yes. Dave Stewart, who wrote this poem with him, Dave Stewart, who is also the executive producer of my latest album, wrote this poem with him in the 90s, and he sent it to me saying he thought I could do it justice. And I put the music and melody to it and recorded it. And once it was done, David shared it with Leonard, and Leonard and David decided that they were going to give me co-writing credit, which was the greatest honor I've couldn't imagine getting. In the EP, it has four originals, and I did a cover of Hallelujah, which I think I'll release very soon. Yeah, and I, you know, what a storyteller and what a poet. I mean, I was so lucky to have, you know, just to know him a little bit. We had a few email exchanges, and last time I heard from him, he said, I had invited him to my show at the Hotel Cafe in L.A. last year, and he said to me that he has put his back out. He was going to be immobile for a couple of weeks, and he said, I rejoice in your success.
You were talking about how you think that Mars is important in that it's not just empty entertainment, but it's informational and helpful to society. What do you hope that viewers take away from seeing Mars?
I you know, we're at a really broken time. I mean, our world is broken in so many ways. There's so much at stake from our climate to political situations to human rights issues, the refugee crisis. There's so much that needs to activate, that needs work and help and change. And, I really hope the audience gets from the show that sense of hope of nations coming together to work on a mission to save humans from going extinct is what Mars's show is based on, basically. I think in a time of crisis where truly, you know, the environment I don't know if you saw before the flood, and it's just so mind-blowing where we are and how much we have to do and how we have to individually change our lifestyles to make sure we don't leave the planet like in complete destruction for the future generations. I think it's really just the message of hope is very important for all of us right now. And I think Mars offers that. And I think Mars can pave the way, you know, for a positive culture shift of people coming together and working together, you know, for a greater good of everyone, not just one group.
What has Mars taught you then?
The experience itself taught me that if I believe in myself and I give every bit of the last atom that I have that makes me, if I give all of it to the project, then it could be okay, then I can do a good job, you know, basically. So in a way, it was such a big challenge, and I was so terrified in the beginning. And once I made that decision, I got a hang of it, and I think I pulled it through. And in that same sense, that's a lesson for any challenge you face, you know, is you do your best and you have to be okay with that.
Were there any idols, either actors or musicians or just scientists that you looked up to when working on Mars?
When I was working on Mars, I listened to Nina Simone's Feeling Good on repeat just to pump myself up. So that was my theme song of the whole trip, basically. I mean, I had a whole mix, but that was the song to get me up.
Would you like to tell me about the volunteer work that you're doing now?
I'm not doing, it's not a volunteer work, but what I'm working on right now is called Let's Come Together. And it is an interactive singing project inspired by the Estonian singing revolution for human rights. So I wrote a song called Let's Come Together after seeing you know, millions of people displaced and devastated, refugees mostly, and how they were treated and how there was very little being done to help them as far as even just, you know, various countries where they're being held or not being able to find a new home. It just seemed so astounding that there were 60 million displaced people around the world, and this is not just an issue that just started happening when it hit European shores. It's been happening for forever. And, you know, I just got to learn more and more about it. And so I went back to, like, well, where is, you know, where did the Universal Declaration of Human Rights come from? And Eleanor Roosevelt was a big champion behind that, and she was really behind having that come to life. And so, you know, I wrote the song. I'm working on a video that gives you an education on where the Universal Declaration of Human Rights came from and how it's pretty much been violated by almost every country. You know, it's something that became binding many years after it was ratified, but there is no one to enforce the human rights for every child and man and woman, you know. And so, you know, the amazing thing about the Estonian human singing revolution was that, you know, if you look up the Estonian singing revolution on Wikipedia, it'll tell you that they won their independence by singing. And so I was like, what in the world? How does that happen? Can you just sing? And is it like a form of energy and prayer? Is that what it is? That, you know, so I researched it, saw the documentary, and what I learned was that, you know, there were really broken people historically, just attacked by all sides, and they gathered regularly. Hundreds of thousands of people gathered regularly and sang together. And as soon as Gorbachev allowed free speech, you know, the smart people got together and created a parliament, got the international people to know, all the, you know, got international attention to say that their occupation was illegal. And the way they stamped their independence was, really, they weren't allowed to sing their national anthem, and they sang that, you know. And so what I'm doing with the singing is I'm in the process of choosing a few human rights organizations, especially ones that help children who are displaced, and to donate publishing rights to those organizations. And I've worked with the Putney School in Vermont, which is a high school, and sang with the 300 students. And went and talked to them about the project, and I sang with them. I went to Butler University in Indianapolis and worked with a professor there who actually teaches a course in choral music, peacemaking through choral music. He's also a fellow at the Desmond Tutu Center. And so I went over there and spoke with the students, and we did a concert together with six other choirs in the city. And so just spreading the word, really, and getting as many people to share the same message of coming together for human rights. There was also a German Zurich youth choir, girls between the age of 12 and 17 sang a version of the song. And then a male Icelandic choir between the age of 25 and 65 sang a version of the song. And it's amazing. So I'm just spreading it as much as I can. I plan to release it in December. I'm just working on the video.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you so much. It's really nice talking to you. I really appreciate you having me.
Thank you to Jihei for an excellent interview. This has been Bella Daly Steele with Real College Podcast.